Look out! It's your weekly dose of wrestling news and silliness on the North America Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net. And as always, there is graphic language in this podcast.
For over 5 years, with over 250 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by... First, there was Ric Flair.
Check out the Woo 2 scratch-off game from the North Carolina Education Lottery.
Then came Impact Wrestling.
Play the Impact Wrestling, it's the game, new. On the Georgia Lottery.
Now you can scratch and win with the NAWC Instant Win Lottery Ticket. Thousands of prizes are up for grabs, including the top prize, a check for $1 million. The First Name in Wrestling Podcasts is now the First Name in Wrestling Podcast Lottery Tickets. Look for your NAWC Scratch and Win Lottery Ticket at a lottery retailer near you. All prizes, including the top cash prize of $1 million, are not guaranteed to be awarded. The NAWC Wrestle Chat.net and the CLW83 Network are not responsible for any problems that may arise in the awarding of prizes. Bounce checks, I mean authorized prizes and checks, are the responsibility of Nikki Heyman Incorporated and Derby Lottery Enterprises, Plymouth, Minnesota.
And we'll get that off the ground soon enough. This is not a risky venture here at the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I'm sure I have a table full of Nikki Heyman guys, which would include, from Louisville, Kentucky, Mr. Tyler Brown.
No, you're damn right. But you know, I'm kind of wondering, the second job I got, I'm wondering if Paul Heyman has anything to do with it. Because last night, I didn't get my check. And I know it's not a rubber one because it's from UPS. But I think just because I'm a Heyman guy, they mess with my check.
I can't be held responsible for UPS's actions.
But you're a Heyman. Somebody has to be to blame.
Well, granted, but which reminds me, I have to boot JBL in the butt for making fun of my uncle. Let me point out another Heyman guy, all the way up in the Big Apple, Jason Block.
Yes. I've always been a Heyman guy. I've been a Paul Heyman guy. I'm a Nikki Heyman guy. And, let's get to it. Simple as that. Nothing more to say.
And the newest in the Nikki Heyman guy line would be Mr. Chris Waters.
So does this make me Tasmaniac or 911? I'm not sure.
911.
Okay. So who do I chokeslam then?
I dare you to chokeslam our engineer.
Okay, let me get a ticket up to where he is, then I'll do it.
So, okay. As you heard in our goofy opening, thank you, Jim, TNA has whored themselves out to the Georgia Lottery, which kind of amuses me because I would think they would stick to their quote-unquote home state. Tyler, have you seen this ad?
Yeah, and boy, I think all week all of us have been bouncing jokes off of each other as far as the top prize is more than probably most of the even the top stars in the company get paid. Unfortunately, the top prize will get paid out in small doses, equivalent to say a certain former wrestler's lawsuit payments. Just saying.
Jason, I'm sure you can come up with something just as clever and witty about this partnership.
Well, yeah. I mean, we all know that. I mean, TNA can partner with the Impact Lottery, but hey, they can't pay Zima Ion's medical expenses.
Thank you.
Sorry, Tyler. Had to say it.
It's all good.
And Chris, since it's not available in Florida, it doesn't help the Florida school system, just like Florida Lotto.
Yeah, but we're having enough problems dealing with the fact that TNA actually exists in this state right now.
And trust me, I feel for you. But remember, once WWE gets their new sports complex set up, if you've got reliable transportation, it'll be worth your drive.
Either that'll all transfer to a Publix that's up there, and then I'll work there instead.
There you go. There's quite a few of them in Orlando.
It's quite a few of them everywhere.
What about Winter Park?
That wouldn't be bad.
Because that's
an expensive area.
Yeah. You related to Joseph Park? No.
No, that's Winter Park.
No. Okay. All right.
I didn't know they got married. Wait.
Stop that.
All right.
Let me, now that we've gotten our TNA talk out of the way, and that's a new record, we got it done in the first 5 minutes. Now I don't have to talk to them for the rest of the night.
Yay.
Absolutely. I do need to celebrate.
Yay.
Okay. Actually, I have something even bigger to celebrate, and that's Extreme Rules. I am proud. I am so happy and ecstatic. No, I didn't win the Fizzleweight Championship. My money was well spent on the fact that the Shield holds gold. Jason, you probably can imagine about how high I was bouncing when we saw Dean Ambrose win the U.S. title.
Agreed. And honestly, you know, we can all joke about the fact, you know, believe in the Shield and all this stuff. This has been the best booked group and individuals in a long time. And when they won the gold, you're like, yeah, they deserve it. You know, this works for me. This absolutely works for me.
And since I know Trista's not on, Tyler, maybe it's that she's probably still unconscious that Roman Reigns actually won the tag titles with Seth Rollins.
Yeah, and this is only going to prove that the Shield, whether as a unit, a solid unit, or as separate pieces of the unit, they are still one hell of a team.
And you had the opportunity to watch all this in action, Chris. What did you think of the Shield raking in gold?
I was surprised that they did it clean, but I was gladly surprised at it. And my feeling is I'm glad they did it this way, and I'm glad they did it now while they're still red hot, because I remember how they did the Nexus, and this is kind of a apology in my eyes to Nexus, in my opinion. That's how I see it, and I'm glad to see it.
And so far, although admittedly members of the Nexus are getting apologies, and I will elaborate on that after I finish talking a little bit more about the pay-per-view.
But before you continue, there is one thing I want to mention that I did see. I don't know how true this is. There was a rumor that Roman Reigns injured part of his body. I don't remember what exactly. I think it might have been his ankle at the SmackDown tapings. So hopefully it's not too serious that they don't have to panic mode on this.
Well, according to the sources that I've got on this is that he did a good enough job that he wasn't involved in the post-match beatdown at the SmackDown taping. So that might be precautionary. So I'm not going to raise any red flags just yet. And being, you know, since he's a tag champion, he really doesn't have to do as much. And Rollins is, you know, Rollins will go out there and bump like a madman anyway. So I wouldn't sweat that just yet. Taking a quick look up and down the card, the show itself, you know, overall wasn't bad, but the fact that the Shield had all the gold was pretty much my icing on the cake. Jericho Fandango was a very good match. Orton Show was a bit of a surprise. Sheamus Mark Henry was fun. I got to give props to a spot that Sheamus did that I have not seen in a strap match myself, where he had gotten enough lead to get outside of the ring and run around the apron to go ahead and hit the hit the corners. Now, Tyler, is that legal? Like they caught, they allowed it, but is that legal?
The Del Rio call? Is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking. Well, I'll get to the Del Rio thing in a second. I'm talking during Sheamus Mark Henry when Sheamus decided to run around on the apron and hit the lights instead of staying in the ring to hit the lights.
As far as I know, there's never been any rule that solidly states they have to be on the inside of the ring. It might just be one of those things where it's a loophole, where because it's not specifically stated, because it's never been publicly stated, that he can do it either way as long as he's still hitting corner to corner in a sequential order, is what I'm assuming.
That's what I'm going on. But like I said, I was actually rather impressed. That was kind of clever.
Yeah.
The Del Rio swagger thing was, you know, was a scare. Chris, and you know why, you know, I called it a scare.
Yes, I know. I had to laugh on that, because I'm staying neutral. I've been a swagger fan since he first debuted in ECW, so.
No, like I said, I appreciate what Swagger can do. I just, you know, the fact that what Swagger's done in the last month and a half has really killed his stock. And in shades of Arnold Scotland, we saw a towel get thrown into the ring. Zeb Coulter threw it, but the last person that the ref saw with it was Ricardo, so he was going to call the match. And to get back at you on this, Tyler, that's another weird loophole. I don't understand why they called for the bell when it's a specific I quit match.
I mean, maybe who was the referee? Do we know specifically who it was, or
I want to say Kyoto, because I know it was Zapata who came on after the first ending.
Right.
To get the instant replay where there was a monitor conveniently hidden over at the timekeeper's table that has never been there before and will never be there again.
Yeah. Kyoto's a seasoned veteran, so this is a little on the odd side for him. It might have been done just to kind of push more of, you know, how essentially the team of Swagger and Coulter, you know, they sort of bend the rules a little bit a lot of the times, which unfortunately ends up killing Swagger as a person, because he's a really good wrestler. You know, he's got the wrestling roots, the true wrestling, you know, the high school and collegiate levels, as Brock Lesnar and several others have had. But when you're using crap it's one thing to, you know, use old school tactics, whatever. But in a match that is an I quit match, where the referee is supposed to always be constantly carrying the microphone, tell him, say it. What do you say? No, I'm not quitting. Okay. You know, a towel has nothing to do with anything. So why he called for the bell, it was either just a shit move to restart the match or a shit move to try and draw more heat on Swagger. Either way, it still equates to a shit move and a waste of time.
Yeah. Almost threw something at my television.
I mean, maybe they did it to kind of stretch for time, but that's a shit. I mean, there's got to be other ways you can stretch for time than, oh, let's throw in the towel and restart the match.
Well, I was hoping we're going to at least leave us some time for the Lesnar-Triple H cage match, but I have a feeling while I have to back Lesnar, his movements are very limited in the ring, and that's starting to show. Which is, you know, why I had the minor injury angle with Lesnar in his knee, and we'll get further into Triple H's quote-unquote injury a little later in the show. Now, if you really want some shit, even the crowd hated the Cena-Ryback finish. Jason, there was a bullshit chant.
Really?
there was a bullshit chant in the crowd.
Yeah, and I'm with you. You should have the new the new heavyweight champion, Ryback. Don't you think? Duh.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, I understand. Now, Chris, I understand they were trying to make them both come out looking strong. But last man standing, there's certain ways you can do this without having to do that.
I'm just glad that they didn't have just the Cena wins and that's it, because I feel Ryback's had so much crap put upon him about the past bunch of pay-per-views, first of all. I understand why there's a bullshit to it, because I had a similar when I went to Royal Rumble 2004 and they had the Triple H Shawn Michaels last man standing match and they had the crap
double
in.
Count out, I remember.
Yes, so when you're there live, you always hate that when you get that in the last man standing. However, I can understand why they did it. They wanted to make Ryback look nearly unstoppable against Cena, and it was pretty much a way that they could stretch it out for another pay-per-view. So I understand why they did it, and I am kind of liking what direction they took Ryback in after the pay-per-view because of this.
Oh no, that I see. Where Ryback's going from here is good, and I will pick up on that after I get these scores out. Pay-per-view was fairly predictable. For 11 points, nobody got lower than a 5. So WWE's got to step up their game again. Chris, I'm sorry. You and Jason and Tyler and Forth are all at the bottom of the pile.
Understand.
I did not plan to have you guys on the show all at the same time to give you this bad news.
Yeah, no. It happens.
Yeah. Hey, if I got a little lower than a 5 on my first time, that's just a good design to make, right?
There you go. Statboy and Trista both got 6. I'm tied with Ethan, Delgado, and Shano at 7. Jim gets his second place spot because he's the only one who called no contest for Cena Ryback. And Jim, I'm sorry, but your wild card was very specific, so no. Come to think of it, no wild cards played. But Jim is in second place with Brian Henniger at 8. So, our winner and new NAWC Fizzleweight champion is DJ Peckins. And if Hi Muckamuck can hear me, I wouldn't mind having him on the show to accept his belt. If DJ can get his butt online to do so. If not, no big deal. I'll just hold it until DJ picks it up. Oh, that's not allowed, is it? Okay. So, Monday night, the show opens with the arrival of an ambulance. And let the Scott Steiner and Goldberg jokes begin. Even worse, the fact that I could even make an Aces and Eights joke given the vest that Ryback was wearing when he showed up.
Yeah, I mean, that was a little bit, you know. Did like the new shirt, by the way.
Mm-hmm. He's got a new shirt. The Ryback Rules shirt is out. And he came out and said, fine, you know, Cena refused medical assistance when I'm done with him at the next pay-per-view. It's not going to matter because I'm going to put him in the ambulance.
That's that payback, right?
Yeah, this new concept pay-per-view better called Backlash. I mean, payback.
AKA the WWE one a month. We will change this every year pay-per-view.
Actually, I'm okay. I'm kind of okay with this, Tyler. Having one random pay-per-view as random every year might be a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's instead of the same predictability, somebody might want something a little different, and I think we all need a little something different every now and again instead of just the same old. Okay, well, it's this month, so it's this pay-per-view, and we have the big four. Those are fun. But mixing it up every now and again with a new pay-per-view, even maybe if they want to add more to the new pay-per-view, come up with new stipulations that have never been come up with before or stipulations that haven't been used in ages and bring those to the pay-per-view and make it just that more of a dynamic pay-per-view.
Chris, your thought?
On the what he said or on the Ryback thing?
Well, you could speak on both. I'm okay, a little more interested in the random pay-per-view is random thing, but go ahead.
Yeah, the random pay-per-view is random. That I can see why they're doing it, and it's kind of nice to see. The only thing is, they except for Fatal 4-Way, which was the first of these ones, there's been no real stipulations to all these. Payback, they're just getting a special ambulance match because of what happened at the end of Cena Ryback, and last year it was just R-Truth getting a title shot at Capital Punishment. So hopefully they get, if they're going to keep doing this, they will build up to something even grander. War Games, maybe, please? No.
I'd settle for them bringing back King of the Ring, but...
Yeah, either one. Well, King of the Ring kind of became a late-year thing, but they didn't do it last year, and considering how they booked the last King of the Ring at the... I remember how they booked Sheamus at the beginning of 2011 after that, so... Even though he had a cool costume.
Mm-hmm.
But now getting back to the Ryback thing, I'm kind of... You're talking about all these other jokes of it. For some reason, the first joke that I thought of was that the 2000 manager, Barbara Bush, a.k.a. BB in WWF, was going to make a surprise comeback and be his new valet.
Okay, so that was who was in that picture that you sent me. Okay.
Yeah, that was...
Okay, because I thought it was just a general dig at... is Ryback paying off an ambulance driver to work off duty and steal a vehicle for the sole purpose
of backing
it into the arena and then throwing random wrestlers into it?
Yeah, he's going to throw them all into it, and then when he fights Cena, they're kind of like how the casket matches have gone with Undertaker in the past. They'll open the back of the ambulance a few times, nothing in there. Then they'll open the back of the ambulance. All the people he's thrown into the ambulance will come and cost him the match.
Now, there's a heck of a wild card. Write that down. Anyway, what's interesting with this is the timing. The fact that we still have Ziggler... we still have Ziggler recovering from his concussion. Roman Reigns tweaking his ankle. Big Show has a minor injury from his match with Chris Jericho. And then the evil boss puts himself in a concussion angle.
Oh boy. Do not get me started, but I'm going to ask you to. Oh boy. Okay, is this offensive? Yes.
Well, given the fact that we should probably, that there probably should have been there, on top of all this, somebody just reminded me. Yes, we have a guy with a legit grade 2 concussion still recovering at home. Randy Orton busts out the punt at the pay-per-view. Probably because it would have been... There's been a couple times that I've seen Randy do an RKO with the Big Show, and their timing is not good.
Right, and from what I've read, this was a one-time-only thing because of Extreme Rules.
So. Right, so we'll get back to the actual question with the Doc's concussion angle. Is this offensive, Mr. Block?
It is to me. It is to me, and I'll tell you why. This came coming off the... Again, this is knee-jerk sort of number three reaction, but I'll go this way. When you have the WWE giving $1.2 million over 3 years to the Sports Legacy Institute, a few years too late, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You then put your biggest star, cover boy of the WWE magazine, by the way,
mm-hmm.
Eight good reasons to buy the magazine, right, Nikki?
Mm-hmm.
okay. And then who's out with a grade 2 concussion, and then you're trying to, use a fake concussion in the storyline. And then on top of that, you have John Cena who was probably in as worse a match as him, not selling the ambulance, it's not realistic to me. And it also makes light of concussions, I think. Just my observation.
Right. And for those of you who think they might have missed Cena on Monday, if you were at home, you missed him. Don't worry. He actually worked dark at the Raw because he probably felt he was needed. Tyler, is this offensive?
Yes.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Is this whole concussion deal offensive to you?
It was offensive to me, yes, because you got your star world champion out on injury. Triple H, you don't need to do this kind of thing. You could have just stayed home just to sell that Brock Lesnar hurt you for a while. You don't need to do this as an angle on the show right now. Even if in your own deluded way, this was a way to put over a new guy. But
so, well, let me play devil's advocate here. I'm going to try to put a positive spin on this. Not because I'm a fan of the Doc. If anything, I should be the one railing the loudest about this, because indirectly, it took some sizzle off the new Paul Heyman guy. But before I get to him, let me explain when it comes to Triple H. You had a good point, Jason. The fact that WWE is putting all this money down for concussion research, and the fact that we've got Ziggler laid up with a legit one, maybe, just maybe, Hunter's doing this to draw a little bit of attention to the seriousness of concussions without actually endangering somebody. While it's being bandied about that we'll see other members of the Levesque family on TV, which I hope we don't, there is somebody I would love to have on TV to talk to Triple H regarding this condition. You want to see that?
Yes. Chris DeWin? Oh my God. If they put him on there, if they do that, holy crap, that would be awesome.
They get Nowinski to come to Raw and talk to Hunter about his personal experience. The fact that this guy walks around with perpetual concussion syndrome. I know it's called post-concussion syndrome, but it's more perpetual. It's the fact that his concussion comes and goes. It's still there. So he should be the one to step forward. If they still had a show like Confidential, I would love them to go ahead and kayfabe play this up with Hunter being, you know, dazed and confused, and they consult an expert in Nowinski, who has pretty much dedicated his life to this, the Sports Legacy Institute, and the fact that Vince McMahon should have been throwing money at him for years. This is my vision of it, which means it's probably too good to be true, and it probably won't happen.
Yeah.
So, you made a good point to me, Jason, the other day. If Ziggler wasn't hurt, this would have so much more impact, pardon the pun. This would be more important to the crowd, Tyler.
Yes, but in regards to your last fact, as far as a member of the Levesque family that may be showing up, you know, if they're going to do something and they're going to try to get ratings, I know he's a very busy man, but if they needed to get ratings to an extent, I'm sure a certain hyperactive McMahon might make his reappearance. If you know what I mean.
Chris, what do you think? What do you think about this potential of seeing other members of the Levesque family?
really, I'm just thinking that hold on. Let me restart my tongue here. Hang on.
Okay.
Okay. Now then, as I was saying, really, I think that they've done too much with the Levesque family, as you put them, over the years. But if they do, I would rather see your idea than just see them on there. But I just don't know. I think they're just Triple H trying to get one last hurrah in, because maybe he knows it's finally time. And hopefully he does, but we'll see. I don't know if that made any sense. I'm just rambling.
No.
Well, here is what I don't want to see. Okay?
Okay.
I don't want to see Aurora Levesque on there. Hell no. That would be exploitative crap. Okay? Mm-hmm. No offense. Okay?
No, I'm with you.
We don't want to see a six-year-old daughter going, "Daddy, don't do this anymore."
Mm.
You know? Yeah. We don't want to see that.
I certainly don't want to see it.
The only time I want to see the Levesque kids in a WWE thing is with the creative versions I made in WWE 13. That's it.
Doofus.
Thank you.
Well, it's not necessarily relevant to the point.
No, but I get it. The fact that, you know, I don't think that we need to see the Evil Dox kids in the middle of this.
The only time I ever think a kid on a wrestling angle ever worked, and this is including when they brought Goldust's daughter in for a brief bit, the only time I ever think it ever worked, and I admit I could be missing something because I didn't start watching until 94, was when they were doing that Raven-Sandman feud and they brought Sandman's son into the whole thing. That's the only time I ever think it worked, personally.
No, there was another time, and I'll explain it. And you'll know this. When CM Punk was Punk Jesus.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
that. Oh, happy birthday, Aaliyah. Yeah,
yes.
I did forget about that one. Okay, so that's two.
Okay. It made you needed a shower after watching that angle. Okay, after watching that.
After he sang that, yeah, I felt dirty. I don't know about anybody else.
Yeah, it was just like, ew. Right, exactly. Yeah.
You are a creep.
Yeah.
Mr. Punk, will you have a seat over there,
come
please?
Come here, little girl. Want some candy? I mean, that's what you felt like. I mean, no
right.
joke.
Yeah, no, Chris had it even better. Why don't you have a seat over here, Mr. Brooks?
Oh, Chris Hansen. Right, exactly. Oh, very good. I like that.
So... But we're kind of getting off topic. I better put it this way.
Yeah.
I think we're getting off topic here.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's fine. Let's go to the other side of this situation. And the fact that my dear Uncle Paul is throwing his managerial weight behind a semi-new prospect, at least a new prospect to him, a young man from that has endured NXT, was part of one of the Nexus reboots, has actually been a tag team champion once already. Yes, really. It wasn't a Photoshop. But thankfully, he finally got rid of the Michael McGillicuddy name.
Thank God.
Yes.
Now, when it was explained to me, the name Curtis Axel, I didn't have a problem with it. At first, I'm thinking, wow, the WWE name generator's broken.
No, I knew it right away. I got the reference right away.
It took me a minute. It took me a minute. But it's pretty much
the new Rocky Maivia.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. And his match with Triple H, ending notwithstanding, wasn't bad. He also had a good showing on SmackDown against Sin Cara. Now, here's the trick. Tyler, is this enough of a charisma transplant to finally get this guy off the ground?
Yes. you know, when I first saw it and I was like, okay, why, like, I wasn't able to make the connection at first. Then I was like, wait a minute, his music sounds like an older theme mixed up. And I thought about it for a while, and I was like, wait a minute, he's at least a second generation. And it took me a second as I was listening to his theme over by W the Announcer and stuff. I was like, holy shit, they finally made a connection that makes sense. You know, it's nothing so far off base. It's not trying to get rid of his family roots. You know, he's going to be true to himself, but he's going to be an awesome wrestler, and not just because Heyman's backing him up.
So, Chris, you like his chances?
Yes. You see, I've been watching all the minor shows as well, because I do a win-loss record thing, as you know, but right. Some of these guys don't. So I've been watching NXTs. I've been watching Superstars. McGillicuddy Axel can go, and I've seen his matches, and it's McGillicuddy. He can go. He's a good wrestler, and on occasions, he's had some good charisma. Like, during NXT Redemption, he had a little feud with Tyson Kidd, and then he had a promo I showed you, Nikki, when he was out in the field, and he does have his own bit of charisma. It's just he needs to show it now. Now that he's getting the chance to, he needs to show that he deserves the spot he's going to be in. And including into that, I was glad to hear the theme on Monday, because that was an awesome theme. Unfortunately, it seems WWE has decided to remix it a little bit and make it not as awesome as it was.
Somebody's been having some fun with the audio mixer and the jukebox, because I also noticed that Wade Barrett got his 500 theme on Monday.
Yes.
God save the queen.
No, okay, no. It was
not
another
quite, but
well, that's how it started.
He needed something a little I don't know. Give me one of the early core intros where it sounded more like a British action show.
Give me We Are One back.
Actually, give me I want the We Are One, and this Fire Burns mashup is probably one of the best versions I've ever heard. Or there's actually a Nexus Core mashup that's very good that mixes the verses, and it's just all. Anyway, I'm getting off topic.
Yes, you are.
Although that seems appropriate, because one of the things I've noticed is that the announce table has had two or three major reasons to go off topic of their own. We've got announcers doing more than just their usual brought to you by shilling. And now they won't shut up about the damn app. You thought the Twitter shilling was bad, Tyler. I can't stand this.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I've downloaded it once, but it seems senseless for several reasons. First off, I'm already at home. So I don't need Wi-Fi, I don't need anything like that. And second off, the fact that they're pushing a lot of the extra content onto the app, you know, you're leaving people who may not have the iPhone or Android phones in the dark, which, you know, surprisingly, there may be a lot of those out there. And second off, who wants to sit there and watch something on their phone and waste their phone battery all night when you can just watch it on your computer? Or here's a logical idea, feature it on the show. You know, put some more content into your show as opposed to spending 10 to 15 minutes shilling, you know, Sonic or whatever. You know, do your little spiel like JR used to do. It's Fruity, 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 Skittles, oh my God, you know, all that sort of stuff, and get over with it, you know. But now it's like they have to spend, you know, 10 minutes eating these products or drinking the products or whatever, and it's like just spend more time showing off more content and quit trying to push your crap app.
No, I don't mind getting a free Sonic Vanilla Shake. Thank you very much. That wasn't terrible. But yes, the app shilling is nutso, to the point where it broke tonight, and I think I told you this, Nikki. Mm-hmm. They are going to show the Bret Hart Appreciation Night on the app after the show's over.
And that's, you know, kudos to them, but it's I'm still not putting it on my phone.
I had it on my Kindle for a while, and I just didn't see the point of it, really. Plus, didn't we have something similar to this? Like, when Raw first went back to USA, on WWE.com, they would show what would happen during the commercials. Didn't USA get mad at them for taking the attention away from the commercial breaks? So I don't see why they're doing this again now.
Well, the deal is, the old one you're talking about is WWE Unlimited.
I remember that. I love that. That was awesome.
I liked it too, but I got soured on it just because because of an angle that pretty much only played on Unlimited and deserved a lot more TV time. And, you know, I've mentioned this on the show prior, so Chris, I'll fill you in on this. In late 2005, Hurricane and Rosie had been broken up because Shane Helms was turning heel.
Right.
I was in Fort Wayne for the pretty much breakup match. And Unlimited, and only if you were on Unlimited or if you were in the crowd, did you get to hear Rosie actually talk about the situation. Otherwise, this match was just a random match on Raw. That the Hurricane had turned in his mask, decided he wanted to be a normal human being asshole, and come out and beat up his buddy. Boring. Frustrating, given that at that time, the Heroes were probably one of the longest paired tag teams, granted in the nadir of the tag team division, but they had been together for 2.5 years, which was an eternity for tag teams at the time. And it was relegated to essentially a Z section. Just, you know, probably me venting, but and
it's good to vent because I was always hated when something happened like that with the Hero groups and the Hero groups anyway, because Hurricane was one of my favorites, mainly because he associated with Molly Holly for a good while. So you reminding me of that is the second depressing news wrestling wise that I've gotten this week.
And here's number three coming.
Uh-oh.
Now let me see what the GM's got.
On the Game Boy Advance, what does he have to say?
If I had a button for that. Now he put in a video. He's got a video link here. He says Zack Ryder might or might not be giving his YouTube show another shot. The coolest part about this whole video is at the very end, where he's standing on the inside of a fence that he had used in an early episode where he made the get over joke. Personally, he should have been standing on the nearer side of the fence just to smile at the camera and say, I'm going to start over. Damn you, GM. Stupid puns. Scrolls down. Props to CM Waters for making Zach have to go back and edit the video because he had the wrong WrestleMania listed. This is documented on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. And congratulations, because you know that tonight is episode number 275. Barring disaster or any breaks in the action, you guys will be hitting 300 around Thanksgiving.
Woohoo!
Yay!
So, you know, we've outlasted quite a few other shows, and I think we're going to keep going with that. Start planning now. You've got 25 episodes to come up with something awesome.
We'll get Maurice in the gobbledygooker outfit. No, wait, never mind.
No. Actually, I think I'm going to need a minute to think about that. The restrooms are open. The vending machines are plugged in. We need a breather here. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. with more news.
How many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.
Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore, and to find out how you can help, visit facebook.com/Operation Restore Our Shore.
CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com, the newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.
And now, back to wrestling news and more silliness on the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on CLWA3.com.
Back on the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Tyler Brown, Jason Block, and Chris Waters. Now, I don't normally follow sports, mainly because I'm pretty sure that every other professional sport these days is as worked as much as wrestling. But somebody throws an article across my interwebs about a guy named Terrell Brown, 6'10", 403 pounds, may as well be two linemen.
Holy yow! That's a wow.
The first thing that I think of besides Big Show's next WrestleMania opponent here is the movie The Princess Bride. I'm on the Brute Squad. You are the Brute Squad.
Pretty much. So if, you know, if anything, yeah, that the first thing, you know, when I got a look at the picture, I'm like, okay, you are in the wrong business. And apparently, I'm not the only one who's probably looking at him. It's come out that Jim Ross has been talking with the NFLPA, the Players Association, to develop a working relationship that to have football players who don't quite make it in the NFL to maybe try wrestling. That worked really well for Mongo McMichael.
Oh, shit. Here comes Mongo.
Sorry. Hey, I had to make that joke. I had to make that joke.
However, there is actually a very big precedent to this. One of the most famous guys, if I remember my history, is a guy by the name of the Big Cat, Ernie Ladd, back in the 70s.
There you go.
Okay. So this is by the way, this is a brilliant move. Brilliant move. Because you know how Vince likes his big guys. And big guys, and they've had a relationship with the NFL as far back as WrestleMania 2. If I remember correctly.
Yeah. And you know, taking one multi-million dollar business and tapping into the multi-billion dollar business that is the NFL. And don't get me started. This is a very good idea. Some of the other things that Ross was doing in the area was that he was on the NFL radio show, on SiriusXM NFL radio show Tuesday night, where he was talking about this relationship. He's also talking about getting relief efforts put together for more Oklahoma and the tornadoes that went through there this week. Mr. Ross, you are lucky you live in nearby Norman and did not have to deal with a tornado. And, oh, by the way, it's not just Oklahoma. Wichita, Kansas had a few. Those weren't pretty.
No, but more Oklahoma was the biggest devastated point.
Yeah.
And I believe Jim Ross also tweeted that I think the WWE is going to make some effort as well. I will bring in TNA and give them props for actually putting on the American Red Cross number on Monday and putting up a nice block for them as well.
Yeah. So it's, you know, even when it's not storm season, I'll show the Red Cross just because I am, I'm a universal donor myself. And my phone rings off the hook every 6 weeks saying, hey, are you busy? Can we have you sit over here for a minute and have a pint? Sorry.
So what's your alcohol level? Is it 12.1?
No. You don't understand. I've actually been thrown out of one blood drive because they couldn't find any blood in my caffeine stream. I have pictures.
Ah!
pictures.
Yeah, they have me. They found you. They found me in your blood records. I mean, right?
No. I'm saying they couldn't find any blood in my caffeine stream, so they said that particular day I was ineligible. So I got to watch that. But Tyler, grabbing a handful of football players and trying to turn them into wrestlers, you know, that's probably the easiest farm system I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, considering a good majority of current and former WWE wrestlers have been football players. Off the top of my head, I think Austin was a football player, just because that was the way things were in the small town he grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
Rocky Johnson, via The Rock, he played football for Miami. Goldberg, I can't remember what football team he played for off the top of my head. Atlanta Falcons.
The Raiders.
Yeah. Falcons.
Oh, the Raiders, yeah.
Yep.
That too. I mean, that's just the big three that I can think of right off the top of my head. I'm sure
John
there's
Cena.
been...
John Cena was a football player.
Swagger, Ron Simmons. Swagger played football. And Ron Simmons, yes. Florida State, thank you very much.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Brock Lesnar had a tryout with the Minnesota Vikings, didn't he?
Yeah, after he bailed on the E back in 04. Thank you.
Yeah.
Didn't they say that Neidhart used to be a football player back in the day, too? It might have been Canadian Football League, but still, it was football.
Well, and I think even, Duggan played football for a little bit because he even incorporated that into his style.
Oh.
And let's not forget the man who won a main event at WrestleMania in his first match, Lawrence Taylor.
Well, shucks, I wanted to talk about Fandango. Anyway,
I don't think he played football.
WrestleMania 30, Lawrence Taylor versus Fandango. There we go.
I don't think Vince would go for it. Yeah. Although, I gotta give props for the Fandango character doing a bit of trolling. I'm gonna call it trolling Monday night. During a tag match when he was tagging with Barrett, where he decided, the match can go on. Pardon me, somebody please hit my music. And somewhere just off mic you hear, "Get back in the bloody ring!" Careful, Chris. We don't want to lose you to a broken microphone. And in fact, they had Fandango and Mr. Barrett had another interaction on SmackDown during Miz TV, where Miz, as usual, gets overshadowed in his own segment. At least up until the fight broke out, but that's a whole nother thing. So, let me ask the question, Chris. Do you think that this little bit of trolling of Fandango dancing outside the ring is at least somebody in the back acknowledging the fact that people are digging the music?
Well, I think they've noticed that people were digging the music when they changed his Titantron to actually have a sing-along thing into it. They actually have now in the Titantron for Fandango the words da 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 going on.
Oh my
in there.
God! I didn't even notice.
Yeah, I noticed that really quickly. I think if it wasn't this past week's shows, it was Extreme Rules. I first noticed that right at the beginning when they first get to that, they actually have the words for it. So I think by then they started noticing. I'm also wondering if this is trying to make Fandango more of a tweener or something like that. But from what I've read about SmackDown, I haven't watched it yet because when I wanted to watch it on Daily Motion because my cable system does not have that many channels right now, thanks to my landlady, but that's a long story. So I'm going to have to watch it on Hulu tomorrow. But from what I'm seeing, it's just a way that they can get Barrett to hate Fandango and build Miz into it and throw Jericho into it so we can have another match for Payback with the Intercontinental title. That's how I'm seeing it right now.
Jason, your thoughts?
Is anyone noticing that Barrett may be getting a face turn and no one notices it yet? Maybe.
That's true. He decked Fandango with a bullhammer. I kind of dug that. But then again, I like Barrett.
Wait, Barrett? Like Barrett too. That's what I'm just saying.
Wait, Barrett's supposed to be a heel? Wait, no.
Well, with the new music, they could easily just go ahead and slowly turn him face.
Exactly. Which is also what they're trying, I think, to do with Mark Henry. The rumor is.
Well, that's the going rumor. Mark Henry decided after the strap match that he was going home. And he stomped out of the building with an ice pack still tucked in his singlet, but he left. Give him some time to go ahead and rest up and, pray that he doesn't get injured again and get him back on TV. And sure, I'll take him as a smiling face. Because in real life, he is a nice guy.
I would say Now, if they do the Wade Barrett turn, I just had a weird thought now. It probably wouldn't happen anyway. Let's just say for some reason after the Barrett thing, and maybe he loses the Intercontinental title or something, somehow he gets mixed up in this whole Shield thing. Get Barrett, maybe like Undertaker, I don't know. And then they have a mystery partner against the Shield. Shield's all confident, say, we've beaten everybody in our path and everything, and then all of a sudden, somebody gonna get the ass kicked and everything.
That'd be interesting. I'd take that.
Yeah.
The other turn in the works is to the absent Paul Heyman guy known as CM Punk, who, Jason, you mentioned has been futzing around on Twitter again.
Yeah, he's been futzing around a little bit. I mean, he's been tweeting about the MMA fights. He's been tweeting just, you know, little here. But the big tweet that he had this week was the fact that people had been asking him this week about... I'm sorry, hold on a minute here, about... When is he coming back? When is he coming back? When is he coming back? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And like, he's been tweeting a lot this week. You know, he's responding to a lot of the idiot fans. He was asked... Where do you want to be? He goes, I ain't going nowhere. I'm happy where I am right now. Meaning home.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Exactly.
So.
Oh, yes. I'm exactly where I belong. No desire to be anywhere else. # thank you very much. Okay.
Yeah.
And this was in response to very glad to hear Josh Barnett is back where he belongs. That is for... He's an MMA fighter.
Okay.
So he has been tweeting a lot since he has been off, you know, off the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since... pretty much since May. You know?
Yeah. And when he comes back, people are going to... You know, are going to jump up and down for his return. I know I will. And I could have sworn I was going to make a joke. I could have sworn there was a picture out there that Dean Ambrose had taken of his U.S. title in a refrigerator.
Oh, hold on. Let me see if I can find that. By the way, speaking of this, I wanted to. You asked me to bring this up, and Chris kind of posted this about NXT. You got a chance to look at it for the first time in a while. You wanted to talk about that.
Actually, I did. Chris, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity because
not a problem.
The fact that now I've got a chance to see Adrian Neville in action. I got to see the NXT debut of Sami Zayn, the world's tallest gnome.
A.K.A. El Generico, for those
who don't. Yeah, there's a reason he wore a mask for so long.
Yeah. I think this is why he's worn a mask. Now, let me get some people's indies. Let me just tickle somebody in their indies. God, that sounds dirty.
Oh, my.
So, Sami Zayn wins in his debut match.
Against Curt Hawkins.
Against Curt Hawkins. Later in the same show, Antonio Cesaro kills Yoshitatsu and then gets on the mic and says there is no one out there to challenge him anymore on any show. Sami Zayn walks out and says, do you want a challenge?
What? Whoa, wait a second.
Antonio Cesaro versus Sami Zayn. Have we seen this before?
Yeah. Does the words Claudio Castagnoli versus El Generico mean anything to you, ladies and gentlemen?
Woohoo! Somewhere, I'll tell you what. There was an ole ole joke at the announce table during the match. I heard ole ole being sung in the stands by a couple of people. Some people in the stands got it. And I'm sitting here going, oh my Lord. If you had told me 3 years ago that this was actually going to happen in a WWE, granted NXT, but WWE, I would have told you, okay, I believe they would have signed Claudio, but they would have zero interest in Generico. But
that's
That's crazy talk, but I saw it with my own two eyes, so I can't say that.
And they got to, and they got a multi-language promo against each other, pretty much.
Oh my goodness! That was thank you for reminding me, Chris. Yes, when Sami Zayn comes to television, I hope they also mention that he is multilingual. You know, we joke about the fact that he speaks horrible Spanish, but he does know a couple of languages. He knows he speaks French. And he speaks Syrian? What was the other language?
I thought it was Arabic. Maybe both.
So, okay. How much would you pay for Antonio Cesaro and Sami Zayn to be standing in a Raw SmackDown ring arguing at each other in 7 different languages?
Nice.
I would pay Mania money for that. Tyler, how much would you pay for this multilingual promo?
Take what they pay the Spanish announcers, multiply that by 10, and add 25% of John Cena's merchandise revenue.
Woohoo! Chris, I know you're broke, but how much would you pay?
I think I would pay in excess of $1 million.
Sorry. Yeah. No, you're fine, Jason. What would you have paid for that promo?
A lot. I don't have any money since I'm unemployed, but a lot. You know.
So, you hear that, WWE? Get Sami Zayn moved up quick, and you know, start that mic feud, because I just want to see them start arguing. And hell, throw Chris Jericho in the middle of it, because he speaks fluent Spanish. After his little argument with Ricardo Rodriguez, I gotta see this. Oh my God, I gotta see this. Please, thank you. Anyway, or as they say in something that I've learned, a phrase in Minnesota is please and thank you. It's just said all at
yeah,
once.
Yeah, please and thank you. But by the way, what did you think of NXT and the production and all that sort of stuff?
This is actually a wonderful setup. I'm really impressed with it, in the fact that this is, you know, it's a training stage. You know, I get flashbacks of OVW. Now this is what would happen if OVW had a real budget. The arena that NXT is still shooting at Full Sail. They have, you know, they've got a decent sized crowd. They've got a full Titantron area, a good ramp. Obviously, WWE regulation 20x20 ring. They have a crane. They were using a crane cam. The commentary table for the show that I was watching was Tony Dawson and William Regal, and that was a joy to listen to.
Yeah, that's the usual team. Those last week they switched out Regal for Brad Maddox for some reason.
And Brad Maddox, I swear to God, I want to know if he practices being that annoying, or if it just comes naturally.
You know who he reminds me of when he does commentary? He reminds me of early Monday Nitro Eric Bischoff for some reason.
Thank you. You're right. You're absolutely right. If Eric Bischoff was still with WWE, this guy should have been his nephew. Seriously. This guy's more Bischoff than Garrett.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, that's exactly who he looks like, an incompetent Bischoff. Sorry. No, but the thing is that it's very hard to be purposefully dumb. Like faking it. It's hard to fake drunk unless you drink. It's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it's I know what he's going for. The Brad Maddox character, I know what he's going for.
The crappy intern?
He's going for the intern who thinks he's ready for the spotlight. That first year rookie who says, I'm ready. And then you watch him just tripping over his left foot, his right foot, and his left hand. And standing up and saying, I meant to do that.
Hmm. Oh, can I knew I wanted to make a point, I'm sorry, regarding the debut of Curtis Axel.
Yes.
The reason, if I may, by the way, there was a couple of things that I wanted to say. Did you notice on the Titantron, they changed it from Kurt Axel to Curtis Axel? Because...
Yes, a lot of people noticed that.
I think they did not want to get the name between Kurt Angle and Kurt Axel. I think that's what they wanted to change that.
Right. And Kurt Hawkins said, don't worry, nobody calls me Curtis.
But I think the reason why the Curtis Axel gimmick is going to work. Is did you see the reaction on Twitter to this? Every wrestler went batshit crazy when he was announced as the newest Paul Heyman guy. It was beautiful.
Let me find them because thanks to our fine friends at WrestleChat.net, they had posted a bunch of them.
Right.
So give me a moment. Let me find them.
Okay, but. But do you agree? I'll ask you, Chris. Do you think that the fact that the wrestlers were universally positive is a big deal?
Yes, I think it does. Especially if the fans actually see that they are positive. Like I said, I've seen him when he was still Michael McGillicuddy. He can go. If just has to prove it in the ring on a big show. So them talking about how big a deal it is. Is a good sign of things that could be positive in his future, in my view. I'm hoping it is. I like the guy.
Found it.
Okay,
so positive reactions on Twitter, and not just from the employed of WWE, which makes this important to me. Because, yes, you know, in the social media world, you know, this is a gigantic work because you have WWE superstars just helping putting Kurt Axel over by, you know, giving some thumbs up on Twitter. So Jericho says, you know, proud and excited for this debut. He's been waiting for this for his entire life. Somewhere Mr. Perfect is smiling his mischievous grin. The aforementioned Kurt Hawkins, don't worry about me. Nobody has ever referred to me as Curtis. I'm okay. Fink, you know, Curtis Axel has become a WWE household name in the last 15 minutes. Opportunity knocks, and I think he'll open the door and embrace it. Ezekiel Jackson hasn't been on TV in how long? He gave it begrudgingly. Kid deserves it.
I think he hasn't been on TV in a year, Ezekiel.
Tyson Kidd, who's still rehabbing the knee and still thinks he still thinks he'll be back for SummerSlam, praised the music, praised his in-ring work. Ziggles, you know, I could make a concussion joke here, but I won't. Genuinely proud of him. Go get him, kid. Foley. Saying, yeah, this kid's got a good shot, and, you know, Uncle Paul wouldn't be helping him if he didn't think this was going to work. Bella's made their comments. Of course, Paulie had something to say. But here's the one that I want to wave the flags from. A tweet from Lance Effing Storm.
If I can be serious for a moment.
and I take him extremely seriously, especially since I have worked with one of his students. So anyone who thinks Kurt Axel as the new Heyman guy is a miss doesn't understand building to the future. So, Tyler, since you haven't had a chance to speak, WWE isn't paying Lance Storm.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Lance being a big technical guy in his own right,
mm-hmm.
does this pack more punch than anything any of the other wrestlers said?
What you're saying is that so because he's unpaid by the company, that his word should be worth more? Is that what you're implying, or?
I'm implying that the fact that since Lance Storm is not a WWE employee and putting Kurt Axel over, that there really is something to this, and that I could be mean and say, well, you know, WWE's paying all the rest of these guys to help put Kurt Axel over, but here we get it from Lance Storm.
Well, I think that Kurt Axel has been he's a hard worker, and I think that regardless of what anybody says, he's going to make it. I believe that with him having Heyman at his side, it's only going to elevate him. You know, you look through the past, even through if you go through the 80s and the 90s, and you see all the people that Paul E. Heyman has managed. He's a great worker. He's a great success, you know, between everything that's being put into him. You know, I believe that, you know, Lance Storm's advice is valuable. Don't get me wrong, because Lance Storm was one of the better technical wrestlers, you know. But I don't believe that just because he's an unpaid personnel, it makes his opinion any higher or any less. You know, he's still a wrestler. He's been there. He's done that. He's been down all those roads. He's done it. And, you know, and I think his input is just as vital as somebody who's either with the company or even a former wrestler who is either retired or has moved on. Somebody who's had enough experience in the business, who can understand the ins and outs of these things, their information is vital whether they're with the company or without. And I think that Curtis Axel is going to make it far in this company.
Okay. Jason, the reason for my hesitation when it comes to Curtis Axel, and I shouldn't because I should trust my dear Uncle Paul, is because thankfully they're not talking about the misfire.
The misfire being
Heidenreich?
Yeah, Heidenreich was a Heyman guy at first.
Yes.
That's a rare miss. Okay.
But that's the little red flag that's waving in the back of my head because, you know, I'm not discounting Curtis Axel's ability by any means. And I haven't seen as much of his work as Chris has. But
Nathan Jones, Matt Morgan, were they all Heyman guys too?
Yeah, there was that little alliance like in late 2003, early 2004 with Lesnar,
Team
Big Show.
Heyman's team with Big Show, Lesnar, Matt Morgan, and Nathan Jones.
Yeah.
Nathan Jones made his own bed. He quit.
Hmm. And then he got milked out of it. Ooh, sorry.
Stop that.
Okay.
Morgan was horribly misused, and he wasn't with Heyman long enough really to get what he, you know, get the rub that he needed. I think Morgan could have succeeded, but then that stupid stuttering gimmick.
Yeah, from the last time I saw TNA, Matt Morgan looked, from what I saw when he was there, I don't know if he's still there or not. I haven't watched TNA so long.
He is still there, and he's still trying to get into the title picture. And honestly speaking, I'm glad he's there. Because this is a guy who is the blue, you know, they call him the blueprint for a reason. He's 7 foot tall. He's got a great look. He's got a great personality. And if I remember, he donated his DNA to the Genome Project or something to that effect.
Yeah, his DNA's up in space somewhere.
Okay. Yeah. This guy is for real, and that this is one of the few times that, WWE actually blew it with a big guy. The reason why they don't mention Heidenreich is because Heidenreich, I think, screwed himself because he wasn't athletic enough. He didn't get over because it was him, not because it was Paul Heyman. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and well, once those two got separated, because this was in 05 and 06, where Paulie was, you know, was taken off the managerial role and was put into refounding ECW. Heidenreich floundered.
He did have the little run when he was teaming with Animal for a little bit, but that's about it.
Yeah, and there's you know, we jokingly called him Hawkenreich.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean it, you know, it was a thing, but I want Curtis Axel to succeed. I really do. And Chris, if the charisma that he showed in the promo you sent me can somehow translate to television, he's going to make it.
Exactly. The thing is, it's always the problem that I see with WWE using people is sometimes they try to hold back their true charisma. I'll give you another example outside of Curtis Axel or Michael McGillicuddy, whatever you want to call him. We're going back to NXT for a second. Let's talk about the former Husky Harris, now by the name of Bray Wyatt now. And he is showing in NXT how charismatic he can be with his new creepy Cape Fear swamp kind of guy sort of personality thing. The problem is, on the main shows a lot of times, they try to hold that back a lot, in my view. So I'm hoping that this time they'll just let Michael, even through the scripted promos that they do, show that he can do this. Curtis, I mean, sorry, not Michael. But yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Well, let's see. And Tyler, I'll come back. Go ahead and come back to you. Let me do one other thing. Because with the NXT stuff, I agree with you. Seeing Bray Wyatt in his Jim Jones meets the Swamp People gimmick is too creepy for PG. But boy, is that's some gold. And Big E Langston, who I've said has charisma in places where people don't even have muscles. And if I drew him up as a D&D character, his strength score and his charisma score would be identical. Yes, I'm a geek. I don't care. I'm serious. Yeah. That he rolled high in strength and rolled high in charisma. They would be the same number. And when Big E is finally out from Ziggler's little posse, look out.
Well, that might come sooner than later, considering something that happens on a future episode of NXT. That's the main thing that's disappointed me this week in wrestling, but I won't spoil it too much, unless you don't care about NXT spoilers.
Tyler, Jason, would you like an NXT spoiler?
I think I know what it is, so I'm not worried.
Yeah,
so
that's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, unfortunately, Big E Langston will no longer be NXT champion by the end of next month. And the person they give it to is, unfortunately, one of the more boring people in NXT, which is especially disappointing considering how his brother's doing as Bray Wyatt, Mr. Bo Dallas. That's just disappointing to me, seeing Big E was pretty good champion. I watched him. They cheered the heck out of him when he became when he beat Seth Rollins for the title on the show So it's just upsetting that they go to Bo Dallas, of all people. To me, anyway.
Well, that just means that Big E is thoroughly unfettered from NXT, which means when they finally cut him, quote-unquote, cut him loose on TV, and he gets to bring some of that I Got Five stuff he does in NXT, where he holds up a splayed hand, the crowd starts chanting 5-5-5-5, and he'll take his opponent and do a move to him five times. And after the match, after he gets the official pinfall, he does his finisher again and does a five count. I think the wrestling world's ready for this. And when this hits TV, Jason, you are going to be blown away.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, put it to you this way. I'm trying to convince my friends that Big E's got it, and they don't see it yet.
Oh, my goodness.
You know?
Even before the pony jokes, I could see this. Even before the pony thing at Mania, people think I jumped on his bandwagon because he's a brony. No, I jumped on his bandwagon and the fact that when Ziggler's talking, my eyes wander over to Big E. The fact that Big E can show
He looks like the wingman at a bar when, you know, the guy has got the girl and what has he got to do? You know what I mean?
Exactly. It's, you know, he is just, you know, it's just chomping at the bit. It's that, you know, I'm getting that same anticipation when Batista was slowly turning face in his evolution days.
You should see me. I'm nodding my head. I'm almost breaking my neck because you're right on the money. You
and
know?
When that, yeah, the when Big E turns face, it is going to be, pardon the pun, a Big E deal.
Oh, you didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
If we didn't lose the soundboard, we'd need something for that right there.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah, we did lose the soundboard. Screw it. Okay.
I will say one thing. When that actually happens to Big E, can we get him a better theme than the one he has now, though? You even go back to his old NXT theme, which is pretty good, in my opinion, for him.
I'll have to look it up.
Hang on. Let me see if I can pull it up here.
Well, actually, I was gonna go ahead and... We need to go ahead and wrap up here.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'll show you after the show.
That works. So, before I call it a night, Tyler, do you have anything to promote?
Why, of course. Just keep in mind that if you are shipping anything across the United States and you see anything that comes through Louisville, Kentucky, I may be loading it onto that plane. So just keep that in mind, and I will take good care of all of your packages as they travel across the United States of A. Because I would like to make sure, because we are customers just as much as you all are customers. So we want to treat your all's packages the same way that we would want ours to arrive, in the same condition it left the said warehouses or whatever the case may be.
Or, to sum up, what can Tyler Brown do for you?
Ah, yes. Very good.
I would attempt to trademark that, but I would get sued by the place I work for.
Yeah, I don't want to see you get fired over that. Jason, you always have a ton of things to promote.
Yes. Let's start off with I was involved with the game show marathon last weekend. Joel Van Ginkle from the BS Big Show, and Chico Alexander and myself from the WLTI. We played different games over 24 hours. Chico played Password. I and Joe played The Chase. And what happened was that we were involved with raising over $2,400 for the American Cancer Society and the Kennedy Krieger Institute, which deals with childhood brain disorders such as autism and such. So that was very cool. Carl has a couple of interviews I have with Pat Sajak, Vanna White, and Jim Thornton from the last taping of Wheel of Fortune, which happened in mid-March. I was there the week that they showed, was on today, this week, and it just ended today, and the interview should be up very soon. Pixel Nation is going to... Hopefully. Pixel WordPress. Nation... Yeah, sorry, WordPress. Pixel Nation is going to be huge this week. A little company named Microsoft introduced the next generation of video game consoles called the Xbox One. I mean, only in gaming logic could 360 be followed by One. That's all I'm saying. Hey. We also want to get a red state, blue state up there this weekend, hopefully. And of course, I just recorded a BS Big Show.
Yes, we did last night,
talking about some NFL movers and shakers and all that sort of stuff.
Plus all the inside jokes to last a lifetime.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. I think that's it. So that's it.
All right. Chris, you've got something to promote and something to work on.
Yes, I know. I'm working on it. Yes, and my site is mrcmwaters.blogspot.com, and I am working on episodes for both my show Watercolors, which I review animation stuff, and The Washout, which I review wrestling media stuff. To give you a sneak preview, the next three Watercolors episodes will be I Yabba Dabba Doo, where Pebbles and Bam Bam get married, Aladdin and the King of Thieves, where Aladdin and Jasmine get married, and then my 20th episode of that, Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue.
You are a brave, brave man. Sorry.
Yes, I know. And for my wrestling-based show, The Washout, I'll do the next four episodes, which will be No Holds Barred, starring Hulk Hogan, and then all three Marine movies.
So. Oh, my God. Oh, okay. I liked the first one. Okay. The first one was a throwback to the 80s. You know, action movies,
right?
And like in real life, Cena doesn't sell anything.
he didn't sell an exploding gas station. Anyway, oh, I'm sorry.
He sold tickets to see the movie.
Did I pay real money for that movie?
Yes, I did
for the first one. I have the DVD of the second one, and I still haven't watched it.
But yeah, just saying.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for them to get John Cena, Ted DiBiase, and The Miz to go against The Shield. Marines versus The Shield. That'll be a great match.
I think they should do that. I have nothing to promote myself because I'm right here as part of the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net, a piece of the CLW83 network, and usually posted up on Stitcher for your listening pleasure. If you don't have a computer handy, you can listen to us on your smartphone or your tablet through the Stitcher app. I'm not going to sit there and shill it every 30 seconds because we don't need to. Just come look for us on CLW83. So for Chris Waters, Jason Block, and Tyler Brown, my name is Nikki Heyman. Good luck, Curtis Axel, wherever you are tonight. And thank you.
JWC Media.